I watched and kept an eye out for trouble. Charity knelt down beside the young woman and gathered her into her arms, as she might have a smaller child. Charity held Molly against herself and rocked gently, her lips murmuring steadily as she did so. For a moment, I thought that the terror and trauma had driven Molly too far away to return. But then she shuddered, blinked her eyes open, and began to weep quietly, leaning against her mother. I heard a groan behind me and spun up into a crouch, blasting rod ready again. The sculpture of the crucified man groaned again. Though he was still crucified and horribly rotted, my fire spells, as augmented by Lily's extraordinary power, had melted the bonds around his left wrist, and now his left arm flopped bonelessly in the steady, howling wind. I had never seen human flesh so badly mangled. His fingers, wrists, and forearms had long since succumbed to frostbite, the blood gone poisonous as it flowed through them, causing the flesh to swell grotesquely. Despite that, I could see that the skin of his entire arm was covered in layers of scars. Burn scars, knife scars, scars from flesh torn by blunt force and left to heal incorrectly. I've taken a few hits myself, but that poor bastard's arm had suffered more than my whole body. Almost against my will, I walked over to the tree. The man's hair hung like Spanish moss over his bowed face, some of it light brown, some of it dark gray, some of it gone brittle and white. I reached out and brushed the hair back from the man's face, lifting his head toward me a little. His beard was as long and disgusting as his hair. His face had been ravaged somehow, and I got the unsettling impression that his expressions had so contorted and stretched his face that they had inflicted their own kind of damage, though there were no scars, as on his arm. His eyes were open, but completely white and unseeing. I recognized him. "Lloyd Slate," I murmured. "The winter night." The last time I'd seen Slate had been after the battle on the Hill of the Stone Table, a place that served as the okay corral for the fairy courts when they decided to engage in diplomacy by means of murdering anyone on the other team. Slate had been a first-rank menace to society, a drug addict, a rapist, a man with no compunctions about indulging himself at the expense of others. By the end of the battle, he had killed a young woman who might have become a friend. He stirred and let out a small whimper.
"Who is there?"
"Dresden," I replied. Slate's mouth dropped open, and a maniacal little giggle bubbled under his reply.
"You're here. Thank God you're here. I've been here so long."
He tilted his head to one side, exposing his carotid artery.
"Free me. Do it quickly."
"Free you?" I asked.
"From this,"
Slate sobbed, voice breaking.
"From this nightmare. Kill me, kill me, kill me. Thank God, Dresden, kill me."
The seedier neighborhoods of my soul would have been happy to oblige him, but some dark, hard part of me wanted to see what else I could think of to make him suffer more. I just stared at him for a while, considering options. After perhaps 10 minutes, he dropped unconscious again. From somewhere to my right, a delicious voice, at once rough and silky, purred. "You do not understand his true torment." I turned to face the frozen fountain. Well, the remains of it, anyway. Maybe a third of the ice mound remained, but it had partially uncovered the statue within. No statue at all, but a member of the She. A tall, inhumanly lovely woman, her appearance one of nigh perfection, or it would have been so in other circumstances. Now, partially free from the encasing ice, her scarlet hair clung lumpily to her skull. Her eyes were deeply sunken and burned too bright, as though she had a fever. She stood calmly, one leg, her head, one shoulder, and one arm now emerging from the ice, which was otherwise her only garment. There was an eerie serenity to her, as though she felt no discomfort, physical or otherwise, at her imprisonment. She seemed to regard the entire matter with amused tolerance, as though such trivial conditions were hardly worthy of her attention. She was one of the oldest and most powerful she in the Winter Court, the Lenanshi. And she was also my godmother. Leah, I breathed quietly. Hell's bells, what happened to you?
Mab, she said.
Last Halloween, I murmured. She said that you had been imprisoned. She's kept you here? In that?
Obviously.
Something extremely unsettling glittered in her eyes. You do not understand his true torment,